The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, January 1st. Happy New Year! As we kick off 2022, we're talking about several trends researchers expect will influence our lives this year and beyond, including how we work, how we shop, how we interact with others, and more. We're joined by consumer trends expert Andrea Bell from WGSN Insight. She goes over 9 things to watch for in 2022. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Andrea, thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and talk all things 2022.
Yes. So I think we have to kind of start with the pandemic. We've all been living with COVID-19 for almost 2 years now. What do you feel are the impacts of the pandemic that will show up specifically in 2022?
I think the main one felt globally, no matter where we are, where we're sitting, is definitely social jet lag. And it's a very interesting sentiment where essentially, because we've all been online 24 hours a day, we lose our sense of time, right? You've seen the memes, you know, what day is it? Who am I? And because of this, social jet lag is actually impacting all of us, the way we spend, shop, communicate. And normal jet lag, your circadian rhythm eventually catches up, right? Your body adjusts to the time zone. With social jet lag, never adjust because you're constantly on.
So what is the impact of this social jet lag? What does that look like?
It looks like in the terms of just daily, it makes us harder to multitask, and it also drives risk aversion. One of the most interesting things about social jet lag that raising my hand, I know you can't see, but guilty of, is you lose your attention more quickly because you're at cognitive overload. And for shopping or trends or just how we interact on a daily basis, it looks like this. I'm on my phone, I'm shopping, an email comes in from a work colleague, a Slack message, or more importantly, my husband comes in and interrupts me. I turn off. I click off. So when we think of how brands, retailers, and companies are communicating with us, it makes it even more difficult to cut through that digital clutter.
A lot more people are now working from home, working online, doing Zoom calls. Do you think that's a trend that's going to continue into 2022 and beyond?
Definitely. And we can see it already starting to happen in digital and in different regions, right? We know the 4-day workday has really become a huge movement, no matter what demographic you are. And that really came down to during the pandemic, we really reassessed our values and what we wanted. And to be completely honest, for many of us that were lucky enough to work during the pandemic, we had pandemic productivity, which meant we were actually working longer hours than previous, longer hours than, pre-pandemic. And there was many factors. One, we didn't have the commute anymore. We were all hungry for some sort of connection. And the other big one was, if people were furloughed, we didn't backfill them. So there was this constant need of, we need to be working. And now what's happening, cut to 2022, 2023, it's a reassessment of those values. We don't all want to be keyboard warriors. We want to be able to go out in the sun, see our friends, and kind of have those sensorial moments we've been missing being trapped.
So still maybe working from home for a lot of people, but trying to cut back on the hours and have more of a work-life balance.
Exactly. We'll definitely see a mixture of, asynchronous working, meaning it's no longer about the hours you log, but what you produce. It's what are those alternatives beyond, raises, which, I'm sure most people want, but what are those alternatives? Is it flexible working hours? Is it investing in other opportunities for yourself? So the future of work will really come down to, beyond monetary value, what is my company giving me in terms of mental and physical health and well-being?
We also saw business travel take a huge hit during the pandemic. Do you think business travel is ever coming back?
That's a really tough one. And the reason we keep bumping our heads back and forth about it at WGSN is we see it working for particular industries and or regions where it's critical. And one of the reasons is truly people realize, due to technology, due to kind of having to be forced online, that there were a lot of cost saving measures. There was just a lot of bottom line, how we recognize revenue for spending all this money traveling. Can we save that and reinvest in tech? But I do think from a human standpoint, from a team standpoint, we will see companies investing in yearly kind of big I don't want to call sales seminars, but big gatherings for the company to really have that face time and kind of get that connection with their staff that, whether we like it to admit it or not, we're all missing those water cooler conversations. It's really hard to have virtually.
And speaking of virtually, your firm predicts that direct-to-avatar commerce will be huge in 2022. So explain for our listeners, what is direct-to-avatar commerce and why you think it's going to be a top trend?
This truly is a new commerce and retail model that's unlocking new opportunity from brands. It forges deeper connections with the brand because you can interact with them in a digital environment. It's a big business. And if you look at avatars in general and why so many people are driving this digital product market, it's because we are spending so much time online and people really want to engage with that. What's fascinating to us is skins. Essentially, skins is a very strange word for clothes that you wear in a metaverse or an online world. By the end of 2022 is projected to be a $50 billion industry. And I'm not just talking the Roblox and the Fortnites, the gaming kind of aspects of it. Nike has recently, you know, trademarked virtual products. They have crypto kicks, meaning you can buy a physical product and a digital product. The options are endless in terms of what we call D2A commerce or direct to avatar commerce.
And this is all part of the metaverse, but let's back up for a moment and just explain for anyone who's still not 100% sure, what is the metaverse?
It's a place where people meet, gather, shop, and get together in a third space or a meta world. The metaverse could be a virtual coffee. There's a lot of people doing virtual therapy in a metaverse. Now what's happening is because of Web 3.0, people are realizing there's an economy there.
So when you're talking about having a coffee in the metaverse, it's kind of your avatar meeting another avatar and having that coffee?
That could be one iteration, definitely spot on. So a lot of retailers are trying that. The idea is you join the metaverse, you are a self, you know, you are an avatar and you're interacting with other people. So that is definitely one way to commoditize the metaverse or to make that more of a retail brand engagement. But the second aspect of the metaverse is definitely you might not be an avatar, you might just be sitting in the world communicating with other people. The metaverse actually includes, you know, everything from blockchain, AR, spatial computing. But the big driver is this idea of digital identities and what we call decentralized commerce, de-commerce, and a way for accountability and kind of owning your data.
Online privacy has been a hot button issue specifically in 2021, especially because we saw Apple allow users to opt out of businesses tracking people's online activity. What's the impact of that on both us as consumers and also the businesses trying to reach us?
So if you think about how we spend right now in terms of privacy, let's be really honest, it's data aggregated. Everyone has the algorithm that chooses what you want. So Amazon is the best example. It's not personalization, it's convenience in terms of privacy, right? So you buy a product on Amazon, it says other people bought these similar products. Obviously, that's a data play. But what we're happening and what we're seeing more and more with online privacy is consumers and people are kind of fighting back. If they can't get that data anymore, what's the next option? How will they drive engagement on a deeper level? And if you actually look, there's recent studies that say people are more willing to give up privacy information if it has a benefit to them, whether that's a discount, whether that's a new loyalty reward, sometimes even if it's quicker delivery and service. So it's finding ways that we can make our privacy essentially kind of work for us.
Still ahead, we're getting into why cryptocurrencies are expected to shake up the banking system sooner rather than later, how climate change concerns could influence behavior in 2022, and even high-tech clothing trends and more. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. If this year has taught us anything, it's that tomorrow may look nothing like today. But Schwab knows that successful financial planning can help propel net worth by 2.7 times. That's why Schwab offers a variety of easy, flexible financial planning options that can rise to meet any of life's many curveballs. Whether it's making a complimentary retirement plan online or chatting directly with a financial consultant, anyone can look forward to planning with Schwab. Learn more at schwab.com/plan. That's schwab.com/plan. This episode is also brought to you by BetterHelp. Before I started The Newsworthy, I worked for more than a decade in traditional TV news, and I saw a lot of sad stuff in person every day. It's a big part of why I left and started this podcast, not only for myself, but also for others who felt bombarded by too much sad, alarming news. And I realized if we're not careful, any stress that we face in our lives repeatedly can lead to unnecessary anxiety.
But thanks to therapy, it doesn't have to. And BetterHelp offers professional counseling that is both convenient and affordable. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in a safe and private online environment, so you can connect from the comfort of your home. BetterHelp's counselors specialize in a variety of areas, including stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, grief, self-esteem, and more. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a Newsworthy listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Andrea Bell. All right, let's talk about cryptocurrencies. They have gotten a lot of attention, a lot of talk. Where do you see cryptocurrencies going in 2022 and beyond?
There was a really interesting MasterCard study in May, but it said 77% of millennials want to know more about cryptocurrency and really are looking at understanding it and buying into it. Now, kind of the main banks are trying to get ahead of cryptocurrency. So if you look at, you know, MasterCard, which again is a longstanding banking institution, they're actually integrating crypto loyalty rewards into their program now. So instead of just getting, you know, the 2% cash back, you can actually get that in digital currency, which says a lot about the future of banking and the future of finance. And the idea of cryptocurrency is really coming down to, again, people wanting that trust and knowing exactly where your money is, and kind of that digital wallet aspect is becoming even more of a priority for people that might be a little hesitant or nervous about their financial situation.
So let's switch gears, because we've recently reported on the UN climate conference. We saw the US and other countries making a lot of promises, and we know the younger generation specifically is really concerned about climate change. Do you expect any significant changes in consumer behavior in response to these concerns?
Yes. And, you know, sustainability is one that I think is top of mind globally, as we can kind of see it. And I think one of the shadow effects of the pandemic is we were kind of globally starting to have deeper conversations about our environmental impact. And to be honest, a lot of that kind of went out the window during 2020. One, because if you actually look at numbers, we did far worse than we should have. You know, people were constantly wearing masks and throwing them away instead of recycling them. The other factor is online ordering and online food and delivery that was packaging. Everything was so heavily packaged. So I think right now what's happening in 2022 is we realize the huge growth of not living sustainably and kind of what we need to do. We're all in this together. What's fascinating about Gen Z is, and particularly in North America and Western Europe, is they're not boycotting brands. They're boycotting brands. And I think that's a real shift. So instead of saying, you know, look, we can protest all we want, we can take activism, but what's really going to happen? You know, we need to spend with our values. So they're switching to, you know what, great, I don't want to shop with you. I'm going to say why you're not ethical online, but I'm going to put more of my money where my mouth is, and boycott, meaning I will spend with ethical, sustainable brands. You know, conversely, that's also truly driving the rise of re-commerce and resale. And that's something that shows no signs of abating, no matter what industry you're in.
Let's talk about clothing. Your firm has had some predictions about upcoming clothing trends. What are you forecasting?
Wearable, temperature control. And this is really driven by smart wearables and new inventions in biometric monitoring and textile design. It means it either cools you down through evaporating technology, or it keeps you warm. And it's kind of twofold, right? You know, as global temperatures rise, we're looking at these e-textiles to, instead of having to turn on an air conditioning constantly or turn on your heat constantly, to do that for us. Ralph Lauren debuted a cooling technology for the actual flag bearers at the Olympics, and it truly dispensed their heat through their body and kept them cool. And you could see, you know, during the opening games, how hot it was in Tokyo.
Do you think everyday people will be wearing them soon?
I think so. And we saw on Black Friday, there were large increases in search terms for self-regulating jackets, heating jackets, cooling shirts. There's already a need in the market for it. And we can already see people really investing in it.
I know we've talked about a lot already, but are there any other top predictions or trends that you're watching for 2022?
We're really looking at fermented beauty, and we jokingly called it kombucha for the skin. Fermentation increases potency, kind of preserves skin, and we're looking at these old formats that are releasing kind of new models. So think about, again, you're like, what does that mean? We're looking at skin-friendly botanicals like rice becoming a key ingredient. So I don't know if you've seen it on social media, but there's people that are washing their hair with rice water. We're also looking at, you know, beneficial bacteria. Again, these are things that might sound like, oh, this will never hit mass, but they're already starting to trickle in. And again, while we're all trying to look at self-care and taking our best care of ourselves, it's not necessarily about the makeup we're putting on. It's how we're kind of basing that and really taking care of ourselves. It also is really nice because there's a sustainability-minded aspect as well, because fermented beauty, again, is grown naturally, and it's really, really easy to do without over-farming. So it kind of ticks every single box for beauty that you want.
Thanks again to Andrea Bell from WGSN Insight for sharing her analysis. For more trend forecasts, you can follow WGSN on Instagram and Twitter. Next Saturday, we're getting some tangible tips from a fun personal finance guru. Anyone with a money-related New Year's resolution will want to hear this. Before then, be sure to join us every weekday for our regular episodes, where we get you up to date on the day's news in about 10 minutes. We'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend and Happy New Year.